you might as well get used to it. Because that's what this gospel is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us through Christ Jesus.
As believers in Christ Jesus, we receive the blessing without measure. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory and discover how the blessing is the highest authority heaven has released in the earth.
Now, what is the blessing's work? What was its intention? Was to create the Garden of Eden wherever it's released by faith. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are. The blessing don't know one circumstance from another. Not anything in this earth can overwhelm it. It's the highest authority heaven has released in the earth. Can't anything overcome that? Not when it's released by faith. To recreate the Garden of Eden. God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed."
Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Copeland. I thought salvation was the gospel.
It is. It's part of the blessing. Yes. Amen. Was there any death in that garden? Then salvation is part of the blessing.
I thought healing was the gospel.
It is. It's part of the blessing.
I thought prosperity financially was part of the blessing.
The gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. The blessing, not part of it. It's part of the blessing. Hallelujah. Some of you look at me like I just got out of school. Well, you might as well get used to it. Because that's what this gospel is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us through Christ Jesus. Turn right there. Turn right there. Just flip over the page there a little bit. Look at that 28th verse. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ Jesus, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. It's mine. I read that 41 years ago, and I thought, why is somebody preaching this? This is the best stuff I ever heard in my life. Dear Lord. I had not
been in that less than an hour. And I knew on the inside of me, I knew it never occurred to me that it wouldn't work. The Bible said Jesus died for the ungodly and I qualified. Have anything to do with me, it had to do with him. It's mine. He's my Lord's in him, and that's mine. I knew in less than an hour that in him I was already rich, because it was the blessing that made Abraham rich. I knew I was a rich man. I didn't know yet how to receive it. But I knew it was mine, and all I had to do was stay in it and walk and live by faith. And it'd take place. I didn't have to make it take place. It already had its own maker built in it. and the more I studied it, and the more I saw in it, the more I realized this ain't nothing but a matter of time, man. All I have to do is walk in this thing by faith. Faith is my job. The blessing is His. Faith is my job. I walk by faith. Well, I found out that the blessing of Abraham was released by the faith of Abraham. Well, it still is. It ain't changed. The blessing of Abraham is still released by the faith of Abraham. Amen. So, the more I studied, the more I began to realize that the blessing is faith dependent. And that faith is love dependent. That the blessing works by faith, and faith worketh by love. Well, then I began to realize it all centered up in that commandment of love, and that's the reason Jesus made it a commandment, because it was the Father's desire to get that blessing on the whole bunch of us. Well, then I began to track the thing and watch it work. See, God put Joseph into Abraham's family. God promised Isaac He would perform the oath that He had sworn to Abraham. Well, here's Abraham's seed now. God was performing the oath. They were not walking in the blessing. So God had a prophet born in that family, and He gave him two dreams. He gave him the first dream, and then He backed it up with the second dream. You follow this now? And so these young men treated this boy just like Abraham's seed treated prophets all down through the years. They wanted to kill him. Amen. Well, you know the story. I think it's amazing. The blessing was working in Joseph's life. They tried to kill him, but then they came up with a better idea. Well, where do you think they got the better idea? The blessing's working. They got a better idea, and they decided they'd throw him in that pit, you know. And they just put him in there to hold him while they decided what to do with him. And they're talking back and forth, and they said, "Hey, we know what we'll do. We'll sell him, and we'll get us some money." Now, while they're talking about all this, there was some other guys came along and found him in that hole, and they got him out of the hole, and they're the ones that sold him. The curse was working in these other guys so bad, they couldn't even sell him and get any money. Somebody else beat them to it. Then there's one whole chapter in there about Judah and the curse working in his life. I mean, big time. And the blessings working in the life of Joseph. There's the blessing and the curse right there. Well, you know the story. They sold him to Potiphar. He's a field grade officer. Joseph comes into his household, and it isn't long until the blessing of the Lord is working on Joseph. Joseph is doing things that he had never done in his life. He's running a ranch. He never run a ranch. He's running this man's business. He never ran anybody's business. He got sold to a caravan. Well, where do you think the caravan came from? Did it just so happen to come along? No. The blessing was already out there working. The blessing organized that caravan. The blessing got all that thing together. Yeah. The blessing saw to it that it left right on time. The blessing saw to it it was right where it was supposed to be. And the blessing saw that it picked him up and took him right where God wanted him to be. And all this time the blessing is working. Potiphar got so rich, it said he got to the point he didn't even know how much he had. Why? He turned it all over to Joseph. Now Joseph is doing things that he had never heard of before. He don't know how to keep books. He don't know how to run a ranch. He doesn't know how to run cattle. He doesn't know how to go to market. He doesn't know any of this stuff. But he did it. And he did it so well that the man got wealthy just because he was there. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Well, then you know what happened. Potiphar's crazy wife made a pass or two at him and took a run at him, you know. But he wouldn't fall for it. He told her, he said, I'm not going to do anything against God, and I'm not going to do anything against your husband, my boss. He refused to violate those dreams. Under any cost, he refused to violate those dreams. He got thrown into prison. And the blessing was released in that prison, praise God, and began to bless the whole thing. Now, Joseph had never run a prison. He's never been in jail before. He's never run a prison, but they turned the prison over to him, and the prison prospered. How'd he know how to run a prison? Same way Abraham's men knew how to defeat Ched Orley Omer. Amen. The Holy Ghost trained him and taught him right where he was, prospered and gave him insight. Now you have to understand this. You have to know this. The blessing of the Lord gave him insight and showed him and trained him what to do with the wisdom of God wherever he was, whatever he was doing, because it was the blessing's job to do that. He learned how to depend on it. And the prison got well off. And then there were some guys got released because Joseph ministered to them. And he said, now you boys remember me. Now when you get back over to the king, tell the king I'm in here and I ain't supposed to be here. Oh yeah, man, you know, we'll never let you down. And they forgot him the minute they got out, and he spent 2 more years behind bars. Now that'd wrinkle you up pretty good. You spend 2 more years in there. Well, the prison just got richer. Blessings working. Amen. Hallelujah. Then when he did come out, it was the blessing that gave him the interpretation to the dreams. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought that was the gifts of the Spirit. It was. They're part of the blessing. Amen. He began to not only interpret those dreams, but the blessing gave him the plans of the future for the blessing of an entire nation. All because God swore an oath to Abraham and he promised his son he would keep it, that he would perform it. Amen. Now somebody said the reason God sent Joseph over to Egypt is because God knew that there was a time of great blessing coming to Egypt. And he needed him to be there. No, it came there because it came out of him. It was there because he was there. It would have worked where he was if those boys had shut up and listened to the prophet that God sent into their midst. He would have blessed that whole family all out like he said he would, but he had to get him out of there before they killed him. Moved him over there. He sent him over there. I just don't understand why God sent me over here. There ain't no believers over here. This ain't this place. I don't like this place. Oh, God. They got me in here working for minimum wage, flipping hamburgers. Surely I'm worth more than this. Oh, God. Shut up.
God sent you over there to take the blessing of the Lord in that place. He sent you over there to bring a manifestation of His glory in that place. You just be the same wherever you go. I don't care what you flipping hamburgers or what you doing standing on the street corner flipping quarters. It don't make a difference. The blessing of the Lord is in you, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You wind up owning that hamburger joint. If you'll just stay in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord is in you. The blessing of the Lord is on you. The blessing of Abraham is on you. You're blessed. Say it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Peace, prosperity, health, joy. Salvation.
We're talking about the Bible definition of the godly rich.
Now, from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the all-new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich. Available on compact disc and DVD, this series teaches you how to open the door to the inheritance of every believer.
Everything in this book, from Genesis chapter 2, is part of the blessing.
In this series, Kenneth explains the nature of the blessing.
You're not blessed because you're healed, but you are healed because of the blessing. You're not blessed because of wealth and riches in your house. You have wealth and riches in your house because you're blessed.
Meditate with this all-new teaching from Kenneth Copeland and begin today to enjoy all that is already yours as a believer.
To order Kenneth Copeland's brand new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich, log on to kcm.org and order online. Or call us toll free at 800-575-4455. The cost for these enlightening and timely messages is just $18 and is available on DVD or CD. To order by mail, you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich today.
My name is Julie Henderson, and I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I was born and raised in Nebraska, and I went to Bible college up in Minneapolis for a year. And after I went to Bible college, I came back, actually to transfer to a different Bible college, but instead I got married and just stayed there and had a family. And then once I got divorced, I decided that I needed to get a college education.
Was that hard for you, Julie, the initial decision to end your marriage and become a single parent? Was that a pretty difficult thing to do?
It was very difficult because I wasn't raised that divorce was part of who God wanted us to be. But I went back to college as a single parent.
So basically you had to sort of start your life over, didn't you?
I did. That's a very good way to say it. I had to start my life over. Unfortunately, I wasn't walking with God shortly after my divorce because I experienced a lot of hurt from the church. But I never stopped believing in God, and I know He never left me.
But you didn't have the support and the fellowship of other Christians
That's
at that
right.
point. So you probably felt pretty alone, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely. And I was convinced that nobody really cared about me anyway. So I kind of led my life on my own. And then I got to a certain point when my daughter was going through middle school. She was having a really hard time with things. And I said, I need to get the Word of God in her. And I could see she didn't even know the basic Bible stories. And that bothered me. So I brought my kids to church, and I told them, I'm bringing my children to church for their sake, not mine. So
so you did what you knew was right. You knew the foundation you'd had as a child, and that's what you wanted for you.
Absolutely. And this time, I met him on conditions of love, not on conditions of law. And that made all the difference in the world, because now I know that God loves me, and I follow Him and obey Him because I love Him.
It must have been difficult, though, especially in the beginning. I mean, you're trying to go to school, right? You've got two young children. And financially, were things pretty
tight? Were very tight, and I was working full-time and going to college. And I started my bachelor's degree before my associate's degree was over. And then they eliminated my position at the job I was at the time. So I went into a sales position selling cars, working between 60 and 65 hours a week. And at that time, my ex-husband was not part of my children's life, out of his choice. So I had my kids all the time, and I was without a support system, and that's when my life started to crumble.
You took the kids to church. What things began to change in your life? What doors did the Lord begin to open?
The more I opened up my mind and my heart to what God was saying through his scriptures, through his anointed pastors, I started receiving it more and more, and my heart softened, and some of those desires of my lifestyle went away. And I just got back into the Bible, and I started watching Believer's Voice of Victory once I became unemployed.
So you're at home, and instead of getting all depressed and just getting into yourself, you turned on Christian television.
I did. I turned on one of the basic channels in Omaha. Airs that every morning, along with a couple other wonderful Christian shows. And so I would study the Word during the day after watching that. And I would send out resumes, and I would take care of my kids. And also, I couldn't tithe at the time. I tithed my child support and my unemployment, but that wasn't enough to make the bills. So I would tithe my time to a nonprofit Christian center for children in Omaha.
And as you began to sow that seed, you were sowing the finances you had, you were sowing your time. Did God begin to move on your behalf?
Yes. You know, it's amazing because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes when we're praying for something.
So in February, you lose your job. You're watching the broadcast. Did you hear teaching that helped you as far as to set some goals for your future?
One of the most wonderful things I heard was how their children were raised in faith. I was a little bit down because I was going through some really hard times with my teenage daughter. And to hear how they continued to instruct their children in the way of the Lord, they even struggled with their teenagers. That was encouraging to me because we know that they came out great. So on Mother's Day, they were offering a free devotional book. And I called and they sent it to me for free. They didn't require me to pay anything. And I read a story about how the Copeland children wanted a boat. And so Gloria and Kenneth told them, you're going to have the faith to believe this. We're not going to have anything to do with this. So they made a list of what they considered their perfect boat. They put it on the refrigerator, and every time they walked by it, they would slap it and say, I believe we receive. And they had to have two boats to get that one perfect one. I didn't even have time to make out my list of what I wanted in a perfect job. I didn't even have time to write it down. It was in my head. God knew exactly what I wanted. So many people would tell me, Julie, there's no way you're going to find a job like that. And I did. God gave me everything I wanted on that list, plus more. I started out at a higher pay than I had expected to.
And how have things progressed since you began your position? How are you doing there in your new job?
I do work as if I'm working for the Lord. And as a result, God has rewarded me. I got a raise in November, a 17% raise. And I had only been there for 5 months. And furthermore, I expect another raise before June, which is a year that I'll have been there. Those things in life that God talks about throughout the Bible that he wants the Christian to have, they are attainable. And it is through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So any form of hearing the Word of God, I put in my mind. I watch the podcast. I will watch Believer's Voice of Victory after I have it taped on my DVR. I listen to them while I work out. I have a little Bible in my car. I mean, I constantly have the Word fed into my spirit so that I can continue to live in faith and know that I can get these things that God promises to believers through faith. My children learn to look to the Word now when they have needs in life. They know to look to God, to have faith in him, to take care of us, whether it's, you know, providing the next meal or when my car breaks down, that God will fix it or he'll protect my car while we're in it. And they've learned that from this example. And I continue to remind them, look what God did for me with my job. He provided for us. He didn't let us go hungry.
Julie, you came this week to be a part of the conventions. Why was it important for you to get here, to be in Branson this week?
It's very important for me to come to Branson this week and be a part of the Victory Campaign, because to be in an atmosphere where everyone believes the same thing, you can turn to the person next to you and talk about what wonderful things God has done in your life. Because to me, it's a little piece of heaven. Just think, this is what heaven is going to be like when we're up there. All of us are going to believe the same things. We're all going to be worshiping the same wonderful God. And I wanted to have that little piece of heaven in my life right now.
I'm telling you right now, that Julie ought to be an inspiration to everybody. Amen. All of us. She's living proof that the Word of God works when it is put to work. She chose to seek God, and she got hold of His Word and got hold of Him in a big dynamite way. Praise God. Now, Julie's story goes right along with what we discussed on today's message. The blessing is the highest authority God has released in the earth. It is the authority of heaven itself. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." Oh, man, that makes me want to start preaching again. God's greatest desire has always been for you and I to live blessed beyond measure. Praise God. That blessing was released for all mankind, includes you today, 2008. Now, you listen to me. I just got to share this with you. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Now, you get that? Now, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, or if you're a believer and you're not allowing Him to be Lord of your life. Do you remember over in the book of Revelation, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And He was talking about the heart of a believer. Now, He wasn't talking about a sinner. He's talking about believers in the book of Revelation, that He was not active as Lord of their life. Pray this out loud where you can hear it with your own ears. God in heaven, I believe with all my heart Jesus has been raised from the dead. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive You. I receive Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that with me, let me know. Use the information on your screen. Let me know. And I want to send you these five little books to help you get started reading your Bible, and just this little simple brochure to show you how to study your Bible. You don't need to be struggling with this book. It's written to you. And if somebody just help you a little bit, you can really get going. You can be just as wild as we are. Amen. Don't forget the Believers' Conventions. Get in them. We'll see you there. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455. Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. Call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Jesus is Lord over sickness and disease. Right? He defeated it. He is Lord. He's high priest of healing.